Hi, I'm John Nerrell, and welcome to the Mid-Career GPS Podcast. If you're feeling stuck in your career and overwhelmed by what steps to take, I can help you. As an executive and career transition coach, I help my clients prepare, position, and promote who they are and what they do to show up and find a job they love or love the job they have. It's time to start building your mid-career GPS. So let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Today is episode 31, What to Do When You Don't Get the Job. Now, if you have been spending some time with me over the last month or so, you have been listening to the series of episodes I've done related to interviewing. And if you're new to the podcast, welcome. It's great to have you here. You are absolutely going to want to go back about five or six episodes, especially if you are an active job seeker and actively interviewing, looking for some tips, best practices, and suggestions to how to show up more authentically and energetically during the interview. But we have to talk about being disappointed today. This is not a pleasant topic. This is a topic which it's going to get a little raw and it's going to get a little ugly because it's going to bring up some feelings for you around either if you're currently or actively job seeking and not getting the offer, or if you have been down this road before and considering interviewing again, what you need to be more mindful of or aware of and things you may choose to do in looking at this situation this go around. Now, I am hosting a special live event this evening inside of my private Facebook group. Today is May 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern in my private Facebook group called Your Mid-Career GPS. I'm hosting a live networking event, Q&A, open discussion for anybody who is a member of this group. How do you get in? You go to facebook.com, you search for Your Mid-Career GPS, you answer the three membership questions that are there. And at 8 o'clock tonight, would love to see you as part of that. If you can't make tonight's Q&A, I will be hosting these on a regular monthly basis. So you can always come to the next one. But the great part about my Facebook group is you do get to join a wonderful community of people who are all trying to figure out whatever is next for their career. You'd be in a great space. So certainly look forward to having you there. Now, disappointment is not something I like talking about. In fact, I try to avoid being disappointed as often as possible, but it is something that happens. And we know over the past 15, 16 months, as we've been dealing with the pandemic and everything that has happened, that a lot of people lost their jobs. There's a lot of people who are still actively trying to get back to work. They may not be in a job that they previously held or in a similar role or with similar compensation, but they are back to work, but they could still be a little disappointed and then trying to figure out how do they position themselves to getting toward whatever is next. Our brains don't like us feeling disappointed. It hurts. It's not a pleasant thing. Our brains release endorphins when we are stimulated or excited in a way of things that we're happy about. Going to an interview is stimulating because we know somebody wants to talk to us and they're hopeful, or we're hopeful as well, that this might be a really great fit. When we get the email or the phone call saying we've not been selected for the job, that's disappointing. And it's a knock to us in terms of what exactly is going to be next. And our brains love to protect us from this place of like, well, the job market's just oversaturated right now. I'm not going to interview. Or people who around the holidays taper off from their job searching or their interviewing practice because they're like, no one's going to hire during the holidays. I got hired during the holidays for one job. So I know that. And I've seen clients of mine who have gotten hired during the holidays. That is just a limiting belief that if you have and you buy into going into this whole process, then when is really the right time to interview for a job? Whenever you want one. So let's talk about what happens when you don't get the job. I'm going to break this down for you today in a few smaller chunks so we can look at this in isolation. And the first is about a first round disappointment. So you get the email or the invite to an initial screening, Zoom meeting, phone call, whatever it might be. And at this first round interview, it is usually to assess fit from a technical or maybe some kind of behavioral level as well, right? So what's great about the first round interview is you've passed the first round, right? You pass through the resume screening. Someone from HR, the hiring manager, has taken a look at it. They want to talk to you a little bit. And so let's just acknowledge this is always a good sign. It is always a good sign that your resume is doing the thing it is intended to do, get you to the interview. Now in this first round, the goal here is let's see if you qualify. But I also want you to look at this because you're going to qualify them as well. Yes, you want a job, but if the job isn't the right fit, you may disqualify yourself from the process anyway. That is your choice. So what factors could determine how qualified you are for the position? It could be your level of education, your amount of work experience, the salary requirement you are asking, whether or not the position is in a location that you can get to. Even though we have seen in this past year plus that a lot more positions are able to be done remotely, there are still some companies who are like, the position is here. And if you are not here, you are not available for the job. Identifying those kind of factors is good for feedback because if you do not qualify to move on to the next round, let's figure out if what disqualified you was something in your control. If you're interviewing for a job and it requires a master's degree and you only have a bachelor's, yes, it is in your control if you want to get a master's. You're not going to get it in a week. That is more of a long-term plan. If the job is looking for 10 years experience at a minimum and you have 5, that can very easily be a disqualifier as well. If you are asking for a high or mid 6-figure salary, and the job pays high in the 5 figures or low 6 figures, that could also be a disqualifier. We need to get that data whenever we don't move past the first round. We need to figure out exactly what that was. And shortly, I'll tell you about some ways you may be able to get some of that feedback. But first round disappointments, when we're told no, you can look at it in a couple of different ways. Some people might look at no as meaning, I'm not good enough. I'm never going to find a job. Nobody wants to hire me. I'm not qualified enough. I don't have enough experience. And other people may look at that no as N-O, next one. There's a lot of positions that are out there. If this wasn't the right fit for you or you didn't qualify, go to the next one. It is why I advocate that you keep a running list of all the jobs you're applying to so you have some data to take a look at where you are in the process of each of those companies you've applied to. Not getting selected after that first round is an opportunity for you to double down on your efforts, to remain resilient, to keep trying. And recently, I had a client of mine go through this where they had gone to interview for a position they were extremely excited about. It was a great company. It was a great location. all of the boxes got checked and they went for the first round interview and we debriefed afterwards. They were super excited about how everything went. And then they didn't hear anything for about 4 or 5 days. And it had elapsed, the time had elapsed in terms of when they thought they would have heard back from the potential employer. And so a couple business days later, they got the email saying they did not move on. And at that point, and what we had been doing was we went back and looked at what they had tracked in terms of their jobs and said, what else is in the pipeline? What else has the potential of coming through? What are the other jobs you're going to be applying to over the next week? And how do you want to be held accountable for that? That very afternoon that they had been notified they had not selected for this quote unquote dream job, they got invited to an interview for another company. And in doing so, over the course of about 8 business days, they got hired. They moved so quickly through that process because they were talented, they were experienced, they interviewed and told their story really, really well. While I wasn't on the interview with them, I'm pretty much going to say they did none of the pet peeves I talked about in a previous episode, but they showed up energetically and authentically from a place of value and service, and they got the offer. In literally hours from the moment they had gotten that email where they were disappointed to when they got an invite for another interview, that was all it took. And it was all that it took because of all the work they had been doing applying for positions over the past couple of months. We have to look at this process as a long game, and it is a numbers game. I would love nothing more than for everybody who is listening here that the first job you apply to that you see is a great and wonderful fit, that they make you an offer and you accept because you are so excited to go work for them. That would be great. That doesn't always happen. I know people, and I'm sure you do too, who have been interviewing for a year or two and still have not found a job. And then there are people, you may be included in this, where you have gotten to the final round and haven't been selected. And I will share with you that this is probably the most disappointing you get in the whole entire job or career transition process, because you were so close. You knew you were one of two or one of three or one of five. You knew you were at that last round and you didn't get selected. I shared a particular story about this in last week's episode, episode number 30, which was about the questions you should ask at the end of the interview. And I shared a particular story where I had gotten to the final round and I didn't get the position, but I certainly made it very hard for them in the selection. When you get to that final round and the company has invested time in getting to know you, and you have certainly invested time, effort, and energy in getting to know them as well, the goal here is to determine what kind of feedback can you get. This is going to be hard. It's going to be hard for a couple of reasons, and one is simply for legal reasons. Sometimes a lot of companies are reluctant to offer feedback to candidates because they can't do it for everybody. They're not making that available for everybody. So in the interview process, a lot of companies shut down that feedback loop because it's just not possible. Now, recruiters or headhunters tend to be able to get a little more information or detail, and they can provide some of that for you. But even still, it may not be really robust feedback. You must ask the best question possible to give you the feedback you want. There's a difference in asking a question such as, why wasn't I offered the position? Versus, what was it in my background or experience that they didn't see as the right fit for this role? Why didn't I get the job? It's an understandable question. You're frustrated, you're angry, you're disappointed, you're upset. But asking a better question, something that is going to give you a tangible data point to determine whether or not that data point was something you had control over, will be vital to helping shape whatever your next interview experience is. When we get to the final round in an interview, our brains want us to put all of our eggs into one basket. We get optimistic, understandably. What if this is it? What if I never have to interview again for the next year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is? Our brains want to protect us from this disappointment and the upset. And so we can be very deflective. Well, it was their loss. Sure, it was. But obviously, they had a reason for choosing someone else and not you. And wouldn't it be to your advantage to know if there was something you could have done to improve your candidacy throughout that whole process than not? Look, if they're not going to give you feedback, let them tell you that. But I would strongly encourage you to not succumb or acquiesce in this entire process and go, okay, I'm just going to accept it. Now, I'm not saying be belligerent or nasty about it. You want to get curious about why you weren't selected. What was it? What is it you could do to improve for next time? Hey, working in such and such an industry is really important to me, and I really see this and this kind of role as my next opportunity. Is there something in this entire process that I could have done differently that would have made me a stronger candidate in your eyes? See what you get back. You might get lucky enough where you have someone who is willing to give you a little feedback to help you in whatever is next. And then it's really up to you to determine whether you accept that feedback or not. Now, sadly, I have heard from a number of people, and I say this both from people who I directly know and from other coaches I've talked to and seeing different things online, but there are companies out there who have posted positions and have gotten people to final round interviews, third, fourth, fifth round interviews, and they have not hired anybody for it. And they have been told specifically, we rescinded the job posting, we're revamping it and going to open up that position all over again. That right there is another opportunity for you to really lean in and say, okay, what was it that made you decide to revamp the job posting because you weren't getting what you got? Let me see if there's something that I have that I could position myself differently for next time. Would you encourage me to apply again for this position? Getting that close and learning that nobody crossed the finish line is unquestionably disappointing. Because now you're thinking, okay, well, so nobody got it. It's like not having a winner for a game, right? You endured this entire competition and then nobody wins. That's disappointing. Kind of sucks, right? These are the kind of things that get really curious. Yes, be disappointed. You should be disappointed. You invested a lot in this whole process. There have been times in my career where I have gotten so close and I didn't get the job. Some of them were internal positions. Some of them were external positions. Get curious. because the likelihood is you are going to interview again. And knowledge is power, and knowledge is key, that the more you have at your disposal to help shape whatever it is going to be next, is going to help make you a better interviewing candidate the next time that happens. So when you think about next steps in this entire process, one, I would suggest to you, have a plan moving forward. If you do get feedback, figure out if that feedback is something you are considering implementing, and if so, put a plan in place to address that. If you don't get feedback, it is still a wonderful opportunity for you to evaluate what went well and what didn't. What would you do differently next time? And how do you have to prepare yourself in this process to be a quote unquote better candidate the next time you go to interview? That kind of self-reflection is key. And I'm a huge advocate of that, not only because I did it myself when I was interviewing, but also in the work that I get to do with my clients. It is one of the things that when I'm working with my clients and we are debriefing about interviews, that obviously I'm not there with them. I'm not there with them when they're actually interviewing, but what I can do is I can help them debrief from a very curious and objective point to help them put a plan together for what they want to do next time. Obviously, as an executive and career transition coach, I see huge value in the power of coaching, not only from what I've experienced in my own life, but in the work that I get to do with my clients. I'll probably do another podcast on this a little bit more in-depthly at some point, but let me just touch base for a second on the ROI about hiring a coach. Yes, there is a cost associated with hiring a coach, and there are coaches out there that charge a little bit of money and coaches out there that charge a whole lot of money. And in thinking about who is the coach for you and what is the right fit for you, there is an ROI. And some of those ROIs can be very tangible, right? So for example, I have friends of mine who are fantastic health and weight loss coaches. People hire them to lose 10, 20, 50 pounds. There is a tangible ROI that they say, gosh, if you go ahead and you do the work, you lose this weight, think about what you're going to feel on the other side. You're going to feel better. Maybe you're going to get ready for that big event you're going to. All of those kind, there's an ROI there. In the work that I get to do, we get to define what the tangibles are, whether it be improving or enhancing their leadership presence, or for a lot of my clients, it's about helping them navigate into a new position. If we just did some simple math, let's say that whatever you make is X. It could be 50K, 100K, 200K, whatever it is. If you got an internal promotion, and let's say you landed at an 8% raise, whatever 8% of X is, would that be a worthwhile investment for you in hiring a coach that you're going to reap the benefits of that coaching relationship year after year after year? If you were to get that new job, and if you were to leverage your talents and expertise and take them externally, we might be talking somewhere between 8 and 15%, depending on your level and where you are going and what you're going to be doing. Now, the ROI in the salary is going to potentially be greater. You're still going to have all the benefits from the coaching that you've done. A lot of my work with my clients, when we're navigating career transition, we work for 3 months at a time. Some renew, some don't. Some find jobs, some decide to continue the path on their own. And some are like, you know what? I just really enjoyed coaching with you. Let's continue. They see some kind of tangible ROI in the work. So if you have never, ever, ever worked with a coach, or you've considered working with a coach, All you need to do is email me at john@johnnerl.com and we can have a qualifying call about whether or not coaching is right for you at this time and what fit for you and me may look like. Because I'll tell you this, I get such energy and motivation and satisfaction out of helping people progress in their careers. After 31 episodes, if you haven't heard that from me, I am not doing something right. Pretty much, I'm guessing you're getting that pretty strongly. So let's think about what coaching might be able to do for you. Career transitions are not smooth. They are not easy. I talk about this a lot in creating this GPS for you because sometimes there's going to be some detours and some bumps along the way. That is where coaching can be a huge help in helping you navigate and figuring out whatever is going to be next. Look, if I could wave a magic wand or sprinkle fairy dust and glitter or whatever it is you want me to sprinkle all over the place here, my wish for you is that you never, ever, ever feel disappointed in your career. You would be prepared and get everything you want. You would have a leader who supports you and develops your talent and prepares you for whatever is next. My wish for you is that no one would ever throw you under the bus. No one would ever take advantage of your professional skills. You would always go to work in places that were safe and uplifting and motivating. You never worked in a toxic culture or climate, and you always woke up every morning saying to yourself, I get to go to work, instead of I have to go to work today. But we know that's not reality. The sad truth is there's a lot of disappointments that happen in our career. It's about navigating through those disappointments genuinely, authentically, gracefully, energetically, and most importantly, intentionally, so you can figure out whatever is next. So let this podcast be a guide. Come join my private Facebook group. Check out my book, Show Up, 6 Strategies to Lead a More Energetic and Impactful Career. I will have news for you about book number 2 very, very soon, hopefully in the next month or so. And most importantly, let's continue to focus on how you are showing up day in and day out to work toward and ultimately achieving the results that you want. You've got some wonderful talents. People are in need of them. Let's make sure you are being utilized and leveraged and appreciated, most importantly, in your career. All right. Thank you for spending some time with me today. I hope this was helpful in terms of dealing or acknowledging some of the disappointments that you may be having going on. My takeaway from this episode is I had a coach tell me one time, you know, no just means next one. So there is somebody out there, there's a company, there's an organization that is absolutely in need of your service. Go find them so they can find you. All right. Until next time, everybody, make it a great rest of the day and remember how you show up matters. I'll talk to you soon. If you enjoyed today's show and don't want to miss an episode, follow on Apple Podcasts or wherever you usually listen. And I'd appreciate it if you would leave a rating and review. Visit johnnerl.com to download your free copy of the 55-minute Career Transition Jumpstart to help you start building your mid-career GPS. And don't forget to connect with me on LinkedIn and follow me on social @JohnNerl Coaching. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.